Do you know what the secret is to keep a baby's skin healthy? The secret is a diaper that doesn't leave skin wet. You've heard me talk about Pampers Swaddlers on our podcast many, many times now, and that's because Pampers Swaddlers is the diaper for healthy baby skin. Pampers Swaddlers absorbs wetness better than the leading value brand and provides up to 100% leak-proof skin protection and up to 0% skin irritation. And if you're a fan of Pampers, you've got to check out their new Pampers Free and Gentle Wipes, which clean better than Huggies Natural Care and are 5 times stronger, so they resist tearing during a diaper change. With Free and Gentle, mess meets its match. And if you're like me and you love saving and getting rewarded for something you gotta buy anyway, like diapers, don't forget to download the Pampers Club app today and earn Pampers Cash. You can redeem your Pampers Cash for exclusive Pampers coupon savings and rewards. Try Swaddlers with new Pampers Free and Gentle Wipes for healthy baby skin. For trusted protection, trust Pampers, the number one pediatrician recommended brand.
Welcome to ABG, Asian Boss Girl, a podcast for the modern day Asian American woman. My name is Mel.
And I'm Janet.
Hello, everyone. As you can see, we are in a very different space. We are actually at the Spotify studio in Los Angeles. And honestly, this is my first time here. Janet's been here a couple times now. And I see why she loves it so much.
Oh, my God. This is like a playground for me. Or it's like a safe haven. I don't know. It's just a really, really beautiful space. Beautiful equipment. Mm-hmm. We feel so professional.
If you're listening on Spotify, we are also on video right now. So if you want to just see where we're at, look at the space, go to our YouTube. You can see where we are. Yeah. But yeah, we're just testing this out, obviously, to kind of change things up. So today will be me and Janet talking about, you know, where we are currently in life and kind of reflecting on our New Year goals and how we can help each other be accountable.
So today's conversation is inspired by those periods in our lives where we're going through some changes, right? And as we learn into adulthood, that's pretty much like always. I think we're always changing. And I will have to say that I am a bit of a self-help junkie. And I know Mel is as well. That's actually one of the things that we connect on quite a bit. So we thought we would kind of talk a little bit about what we're going through right now in today's episode in the context of, I guess, self-help and working through or things that we're doing to like work on ourselves or to help navigate periods of change in our lives.
Yes. We both of us have been longtime fans of Jay Shetty. I'm sure you
love Jay
Shetty.
All
listen to Jay Shetty.
And his wife.
Yes. I also been really into Mel Robbins lately. Like I use her goal sheet to figure out my goals for 2024.
Yeah. I talked about that.
Yeah. I think whether you call it self-help or, you know, self-development or whatever, I think when you go through like big transitions in life, whether it's like, you know, you're moving cross country or you're going through a big breakup, like Janet mentioned, change is always constant, right? And I think sometimes things can get overwhelming and it can feel like life is getting out of control. So we just want to have this conversation to kind of maybe get our hands on the reins?
Talk about how we're trying to, I guess, like, you know, we know that you can't control everything, right? Mm-hmm. But there are certain things that are within your control when there's a bunch of change happening. So we're going to talk about what changes are happening and how we're trying to maintain some sense of, like, balance and healthy control, I guess you could call it.
That's a good way to put it. All right. So, Jay, what is going on in your life right now? Like, what are 3 things that you want to work on?
So, one of the bigger things that I want to work on is, and it's funny to use the word work because I feel like I'm trying to actually let go of more control. Does that make any sense?
Yes.
I'm trying to let go of control.
Okay.
So it's kind of funny that we're doing this in a structured way. Be like, how are we working on ourselves? Or in what ways are we trying to maintain control? I'm actually trying to let go of the need to have control. And one of the ways I'm doing that is by trying to focus more on the process and the experience of something versus the outcome of something.
Got it. And do you mind explaining to me, like, what are some moments in life that you're like, I have too much control? Like, you're obsessed with control. Like, like examples.
I think just in general, when things are going through, if I'm going through a period of change, it's natural to feel like, oh my God, all this stuff is happening and I can't like, I don't feel settled, right?
Okay.
And so my way of trying to maybe maintain control would be going through those processes, but then maybe not needing to set a goal with a specific outcome. So if my goal is just to, I don't know, get up and do a session of yoga versus like I have to hit like X days of yoga or like be able to hit this pose or any of those things. So it's more focused on, I guess, the stuff that's within my control. If that makes sense, even though I don't control a lot of things. So
no, that makes sense. It's funny because I was talking about this with my roommate Darlene, and she says, I don't like to actually set hard goals because I get too focused on trying to accomplish the number of times I do something or whatever versus just on the activity itself.
Yes. Yeah. That, and actually, I've learned that that is like, or I feel like that's a healthier way to go about doing things, because say you set the number as a goal or whatever it is, then once you hit that, then what? Are you really going to be satisfied? I don't know. Maybe you will, but then... yeah, that's kind of, I mean, so one of the things that I want to focus on is on the process of something versus the outcome. Mm-hmm. The other thing I want to focus on is more play and having more fun.
Yes.
And I think it's funny, like, when I talk to a couple of people and I'm like, I want to play more and I want to have more fun. They're like, you're talking about it as if it's a chore, you know?
Yeah.
I'm trying to play more and I'm trying to have more fun, but I see that even in trying to do that, I, like, think about it as if, like, I'm trying to come at it as if it's, like, a problem to solve.
Yeah. And do you mind just kind of diving into, like, why do you think maybe you struggle with this idea of play?
I don't know. I think maybe part of it is just, like, I've gotten so bogged down by what we call, like, adult things to think about in life that are, like, responsibilities, and you're taught that everything should be approached in a very, like, I don't know, like, you need to have a plan for things and you need to... I'm not expressing it very well, but I'm trying to get back into the state of more carefree play. It's a hard thing to do without judging yourself for trying to, like, play. I don't know.
You know what it is?
Be okay with being a little silly,
yeah,
I guess.
I think, you know, obviously this is all coming from observations as one of your good friends. I think something that I've noticed is that I think for a lot of your life, you were really focused on your academics in high school and then your focus on your career.
Yeah.
And I think one thing maybe that happened is, like, after you get off work, you're always working on something else. Like, you're actually constantly working.
Always focused on productivity.
Exactly.
Or something. Yeah.
And maybe, I think that's something that I may have noticed.
Yeah. No, you're very right.
I think you hold a lot of responsibility. And I think sometimes when you carry that weight on your shoulders as the eldest daughter, because I feel like you do feel responsible for your family.
I do. Yeah.
And I think sometimes when you feel responsible for things, your mind is always like, I need to be prepared for whatever's going to happen.
Yeah.
And be ready. And I think when you have that mindset, I see how it could be helpful in some ways, but also could hurt you in not allowing you to just let go and have fun.
That
right?
is true. Actually, something that I've realized is, like, when I'm going through maybe a challenging period, I will, if I'm more susceptible to my own state of struggle, I tend to also be very susceptible to everyone else around me who I care about, their struggles. And the more sense of responsibility you feel for your loved ones, the more just, like, you feel the weight of everyone's thing. And that's becomes more of, like, a worry wart type of situation.
For
where
sure.
I know it's, like, not helping anything.
Yeah. I think
but suddenly I kind of worry a lot.
Yeah. And I also think it also adds, and I'm pretty sure a lot of listeners can relate to that, but, like, I think it also, the worry wart thing, it becomes like this, I don't want to say this, like, I don't want to say black hole, but, like, I think it's based on what you told me. When you're going through something tough, I think your parents are the type to worry about you when you're going through something tough.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know if it's a good or bad thing. My mom's the type to be like, you get over it. She's like, you're gonna figure it out.
Yeah.
And I think sometimes that not having that pressure of my mom being like, oh, is everything okay? Like, she doesn't worry about me, actually. But it's also maybe because I'm very, like, she thinks I'm kind of like a free spirit. So she's like, I can't worry about you. Because if I do, you're never going to. I think because I'm so, like, blah, blah, blah. Like, that she was like, if I choose to worry, I would actually constantly be worried about you. Because you go against what I like, how
you know
I am.
What?
You
and
know?
This is probably, it's because probably, my parents worry about me and then I worry about them. And we're just a family of warriors.
But it comes coming from a good place, though, you
know? Here at ABG, we value self-care. And a huge part of self-care is body care. Taking care of your body is essential to maintaining your well-being. My skin tends to run on the dry side, and Osea's Mega Moisture Duo is spectacular, using ingredients usually reserved only for face products. You can get 10% off your first order with our code ABG at OseaMalibu.com. The Undaria Algae Body Oil and Undaria Collagen Body Lotion combo make my skin feel super hydrated, and I can walk out the door feeling confident with a full body glow. Ugh, seriously, that body oil is just amazing. I also resonate with Osea's clean, seaweed-based approach to skin and body care. Their products are clean,
vegan, cruelty-free, and climate-neutral certified. Show your skin some love with clean, vegan skin and body care from Osea. Get 10% off your first order site-wide with code ABG at oseamalibu.com. You'll get free samples with every order. Who does not love a free sample, right? And free shipping on orders over $60. Head to oseamalibu.com and use code ABG for 10% off.
I wanted to just kind of dive into, like, maybe why? Like, why can't she, like, be,
well,
I guess, free?
First of all, thank you for sharing. That's actually really helpful to hear that your mom's perspective on being able to say, if I worry about you, I know I'm just going to be constantly be worrying. If you're just – if constantly the things that you're doing, I know I have no control and I'm mm-hmm. always – I mean, basically she's recognized that she needs to kind of, like, put up her own boundary.
Yeah.
And that is something that I'm working on for myself and our I'm pretty open with my parents. We talk about that kind mm-hmm. of stuff too, and it's hard to execute and to exercise. But I love to hear that you are doing that with your mom and that your mom's doing that, and it reminds me to do a better job of exercising that too.
Yeah, of course. And of course, obviously our families are very different, very different contexts. Like, I think because the fact that I've been away from home, like, I don't go home as much.
Yeah,
there's a level of, like,
separation.
The separation really helps with that.
That's very true.
That concern.
Yeah.
But happy to hear that you're actually playing more this year.
I'm trying. I don't know. I'm trying. I'm trying to spend more time with friends who have kids because I feel like that helps a lot.
Mm.
Trying to take dance classes. But I don't know. I feel like we've been talking about me for a long
time. I know we're talking about Janet, but I need one more.
Okay.
The last thing you're working on.
The last thing that I was working on is, like I said, flirting. And yeah.
Okay. Is it flirting goes with play?
They're totally interrelated. And
yeah.
I think that is the struggle of being able to, like,
okay.
maybe it's like fear of rejection, fear of being silly.
Yeah.
And I know that those go hand in hand. I'm trying to exercise more of that.
Yeah. All your things you're working on actually work. They work together.
Yeah.
Like, if you were
to
let go of control and then play
yes.
more, I think your flirtatious side is going to come out.
That is true.
So I think I kind of like how everything is connected.
Thank you.
Yeah.
How about you, Mel? What are you working on?
I don't know why it was kind of hard for me to, like, decide on the answer. But the first thing I kind of said was, I want to work on being able to live my life and do the things that I truly want to do. Like, for example, moving to New York or just moving out of California was something that I think there's a lot of truths that I kind of bury because I feel like it would be easier for everyone else. And I don't because I live with a lot of guilt.
That is actually something we both share. And I see it very high in you and yourself, that you tend to prioritize other people's comforts and their values. And it's hard for you sometimes to speak up for yourself and your own wants and needs.
And I think that's something I recognized with last year, where I was like, man, like, I got to a place where I just felt fine. And I didn't like that feeling. And I remember there's this one statement that always stuck with me, but I think after I made a decision to move to New York, Justin, our really good friend who's on the podcast, went up to Ray and was like, I'm really excited for you both because I've been there for all the phases of Mel. Because Justin and I moved to LA together. We're the both the same age.
Yeah.
We were little naive 24-year-olds just wanting to start our life together in the city of LA. And he said, I see Mel through the phases and I want her to find her spark again. And just hearing one of my really good friends say that is just like, damn, I'm not the only one that recognizes that I've been pushing some things
down. Yeah,
and I've lost that little bit of magic that I used to have when I was 24.
Yeah.
Granted, I'm only 33, but, like, there's still some of that, like, I guess, like, young energy I do have. But
yeah,
but
33
that,
is still very
I still
young.
Feel very young.
Yeah.
But I think that magic or that, like, sparkly feeling that. It's very core to who I am, and it makes me sad that I lost it.
That is very true. When I think back to the Mel that in 2017 when we started this, that young, bubbly, very, like, you were so unafraid to dream, and you were driven a lot by that type of, like, I don't know, by that passion. And that has been tempered a lot in the last couple of years. And I don't think that's a bad thing. I think that you've gone through experiences that are beneficial and that have taught you things, and now you're equipped to face other aspects of the world and other aspects of life. But I think getting some of that just, like, ability to dream back again.
Yeah, and it's I think what you said was right. Like, I think maybe last year was the year I had to, like, I was focusing on my relationship, you know? Yeah. That's something I had to do now. And the opportunity of New York came because of Ray's promotion.
Right.
Like, it wouldn't have happened if that didn't happen, if, you know, he didn't go through that year working there. But I think this feeling of, like, there's so many things I still want to do that was still kind of scratching at me that I'm like, this is your, I need, this is the time for me to do it.
Yeah.
And like, even little moments, like, for example, Ashley, our team member, when she told me she's like going on tour with Nikki and then moving to Taiwan, there, I was so excited for her. And then part of me was like, this feeling of like, I want to be able to do, me too.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I was like, I wasn't envious of her journey. I was just more like, I think I still want that in me.
Yeah.
And I was like, I gotta do it now.
Can I ask you what specific part of the, of her story like made you kind of feel that desire?
There's two things. I think watching her go on tour reminded me when I used to go on tour. Mm. I used to go on, I went on tour. I went and it was like, it was a scary, but such a like a life-changing experience that I still think about to this day that I was like, oh, like, it's like kind of like playing on this nostalgic memory that I have. So seeing that. And then Taiwan thing was like, I've always wanted to move to Taiwan
and be in
my motherland and stuff like that. And I think just those two things kind of felt the sense of like there's adventure that I still need to seek and explore that it's not done yet.
Yeah.
And I need to do it now.
Yeah.
So I think that's just the feeling I've got. Because even besides Ashley, anytime I see a friend pack up their bags and move somewhere else, I get so intrigued by that story. And I just follow them on Instagram. I'm like, oh my God, I'm so excited for you. Like,
I don't know why.
I've always been drawn to those experiences.
And you did that one time with LA, right? Moving here.
Exactly.
And now you were feeling like it's about time for another shift.
Exactly. Yeah. So that was like a big, long tangent story of like how I think just wanting to do more things for myself and just kind of just be more honest with myself, like to live life now.
To all my parents out there who have kiddos, especially kiddos who are in school already, you all know how vital it is to keep those little ones in good health. Something we've started to do in our family to help provide the full body nourishment our baby needs is by giving him vitamins. Now, I'm not talking about the typical kids' vitamins that are basically sugar traps. I'm talking about Hiya, a pediatrician-approved chewable vitamin with zero sugar yet tastes amazing. We give him one a day after dinner. It's become routine now. He loves calling out the color of the vitamins, which are all different colors. There's pink, green, yellow, and a few others, and it's so cute. These vitamins fill in those common gaps in modern children's diets, and it's pressed with a blend of 12 organic fruits and veggies. Then supercharged with 15 essential vitamins and minerals, including vitamin D, B12, C, zinc, folate, and many others to help support immunity, energy, brain function, mood, concentration, teeth, bones, and so much more. We've teamed up with Hiya for their best-selling children's vitamin, which we're excited to share with you. Right now, you can receive 50% off your first order. To claim this deal, you must go to hiyahealth.com/ABG. This deal is not available on their regular website. Go to hiyahealth.com/ABG and get your kids the full body nourishment they need to grow into healthy adults.
The second one kind of aligns with the whole like moving. I think I just want to challenge myself more. I realized the last few years I got really complacent.
Yeah.
And when I think about when I first moved to LA, I was like, I literally didn't know that many people and I had to start new.
Yeah.
But I kind of like that feeling of like, okay, like let's see what I can do and reach out to some people. And the another memory that reminds me of this situation is like when I transferred to UCSD, I didn't know anyone either. But I went to all these events by myself with the desire to build community, with the desire to be part of something. And there's always that feeling of like, oh, that awkward, like I don't know anyone, but you get over it. You're like, I'm gonna just lean into this moment and be uncomfortable, but know that I'll be okay at the end.
Yeah,
like, I'll feel great in the end. So I miss that feeling because with our friends.
Proper challenge. Yeah. That's, and that sounds like it's also just, it's like, I mean, you said socially, right, with our friends. And our friends are at a different stage in a lot of their lives.
And the thing is, it's like, I also take comfort in our group of friends because it's like, you know what to expect. Like when I go to a party, I know who to see. When I go to an event, I know who I'm going to see. So I think last time I was in New York, I went to an event by myself because Ray had to go to bed. And I remember walking in, I was like, I don't know anyone here. And I did feel uncomfortable. I was just like holding my drink, like looking around, like I don't know what to do right now.
Yeah.
But I told myself, I was like, you know what? I'm going to meet two people and we don't have to be best friends. I'm going to introduce myself.
Yeah.
And then afterwards, I can leave. And then I did that. And then I was like, okay, I feel good at this mini goal I set for myself. Mm. And so I think I'm missing that sense of challenge.
Right, right.
Because I do value personal growth and development. I feel like I haven't really had that in the last few years.
Yeah, yeah.
And the last thing I want to work on for this year is part of living my life, I want to be able to be more creative with my own personal desires, whatever that looks like. So one idea I've been thinking about, which I shared with my therapist this morning, I'm thinking about vlogging again.
Oh.
Yeah. For my personal channel. I know we have ABG, but I revisited my old channel that I started when I moved to LA. And it was just so funny to watch myself as a 24-year-old being like, hi, I just wanted to start this channel because I just wanted to document my life as I step into adulthood. And I don't know how to edit, but this is my way to track my progress. And I was like, who is this young girl talking right now? And it just kind of funny that I was like, oh, wow, I started this when I moved to LA. I stopped. And 10 years later, I'm thinking about doing it again because I'm moving somewhere else. And I'm in another pivotal part in my life that I kind of want to document for myself just so I could, like, these are my home videos.
Yeah.
So I think that could be a small personal creative project I could own, but still figuring out because it's a lot of commitment. But those are some things I want to work on for this year.
Those are great.
Thanks. I tried.
So in January of this year, we had an episode where we talked about kind of setting some of our vision, themes, goals for 2024. Curious how you are tracking on some of those things.
Okay, I'll be honest. Once we did our episode in January, I kind of knew what was in the horizon, what's to come. So I feel like I was already in motion.
Yeah.
I don't know. I keep going back to the quotes, the quote part at the end where we talk about like what are some words or quotes that are going to represent your year. And I think some of them were, for me, it was like, if not now, then when? So I was like, I do feel a sense of urgency.
Right.
So this move came in a good time for me. And I forgot if this is in the episode, but a quote I landed on was like, nothing changes if nothing changes. And I told myself, I don't want to be doing the same thing again this year. So yeah, I'm not. So I think I'm kind of going towards that. And another thing I'm still working on is I do want to read a book every month. I think I mentioned that in the episode. I actually am someone, like, you know, you said, like, for you, setting times a month, like saying you're going to do yoga 3 times a week doesn't work to your work for you. It works for me putting numerical things. Like,
yeah.
But the thing is, I try to keep it more like realistic, like one book a month I can do versus like one book a week I can't. I realize when I keep goals too open, I don't do them.
Oh, interesting. Okay. Actually, let's talk about that. What is the sweet spot of like for you just the right amount of structure without it being too structured?
I think it's just kind of, for me, like reading, for example, I do need to put like once a month. But I think I know myself enough to be realistic with those goals. And even with working out, I'm like, okay, I'm graceful to myself if the week is busy and I can't go to the gym. It's fine. But overall, your overall goal is to try to work out 3 times a week. And maybe it's not doing weights. Maybe it's walking. So it's kind of like there's like this a meter? No. What is that thing when you have like a spectrum? No? It's like a bracket?
A bracket?
Well, I really don't know the term. It's just like
a sample or like a toolbox.
Girl, I don't know. I just think for me, I know it works for me if I have, you know what? I think with certain goals, I need that number.
Right.
I need the like once a month. Working out is kind of.
And it sounds like for you that what helps is you say X amount of numbers,
yes.
But then I let it be flexible of what I define as a workout.
Yes.
Does that help?
Kind of thing? Yeah.
Or?
Yeah, you know, I realize just overall, I need to set the X amount for myself.
Okay. So you're more like.
I'm very regimen, yeah, with
yeah,
that.
Yeah. That's true. That's true.
I'll be on the other side if I don't do anything. Yeah.
And do you feel like you've, in the past year, gotten better at being able to implement that?
I think this past year, yes. Because last year I didn't. I kept it too like open that I didn't do anything. And I was really unhappy with the results.
I see.
Yeah. So I think I need to be that number girl.
So for 2024, you are going to be more like strict with how you approach your goal setting systems.
Yes. I think it also helps that my boyfriend is also very regimented.
I was going to say,
it
actually,
does help me.
I feel like Ray is quite a regimented and disciplined person. And I'm curious how that has rubbed off on you.
It definitely has. Yeah. There's definitely more regimen than I, and I'm just like, okay. But
no, you know what? I've just, as your friend observing, like, I think even without you trying, just because you are dating someone who, like, goes to bed at, what, like, 7 p.m. sometimes?
Early.
8, 9 p.m.
Yeah.
And then he gets up at, like, 4 to 5 a.m. That just directly impacts, like, when you're shifting your schedule, because then, you know, you want to spend time with him.
Exactly. So I think it does help. I love my structure. Yeah. So I think it's to my benefit that it works out this way. Mm. So I will say, because last year was a flop for me, to be completely honest, this year I'm very gung-ho of like, I need to make this year better.
Yeah.
So I will say with that, I am on track with my goals. Because I don't want the same feeling as last year.
Yeah. So you've already made the decision to move. That's like a big, big life decision that's already going to shift things. And then you are, you said you were wanting to read more books. Mm-hmm. So that is setting. And how many you said? It was like once a month. Yeah. Which, you know, I think is great. And then like working out 3 times a week, no matter what it is.
Yeah.
Any type of workout.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what the secret is to keep a baby's skin healthy? The secret is a diaper that doesn't leave skin wet. You've heard me talk about Pampers Swaddlers on our podcast many, many times now, and that's because Pampers Swaddlers is the diaper for healthy baby skin. Pampers Swaddlers absorbs wetness better than the leading value brand and provides up to 100% leak-proof skin protection and up to 0% skin irritation. And if you're a fan of Pampers, you've got to check out their new Pampers Free and Gentle Wipes, which clean better than Huggies Natural Care and are 5 times stronger, so they resist tearing during a diaper change. With Free and Gentle, mess meets its match. And if you're like me and you love saving and getting rewarded for something you gotta buy anyway, like diapers, don't forget to download the Pampers Club app today and earn Pampers Cash. You can redeem your Pampers Cash for exclusive Pampers coupon savings and rewards. Try Swaddlers with new Pampers Free and Gentle Wipes for healthy baby skin. For trusted protection, trust Pampers, the number one pediatrician recommended brand.
How about you? Because I know you had a really rough year last year. So this year's kind of like a blank slate for you as well.
It's funny. I think we're on the opposite spectrums where you're like, I need to like buckle down and be more regimented. I'm kind of like, I'm in a bit of a fuck it year. No, okay. That sounds like extreme.
Okay.
I think I took on, whether knowingly or not, so much change last year that I feel like things toppled over a bit.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm trying to focus on letting go of control a little bit more.
Got it.
Letting go of control of outcomes, but then I think focusing on only what I can control. And meaning, I guess, I don't know if I'm making any sense anymore, but it's like I trying to go back to the things that are core to me.
Mm-hmm.
And one of those things is yoga. And I've been trying to be much more like loosely disciplined about getting my yoga time in.
Mm-hmm.
And as an example, maybe it's like I won't set number of times of a week, but I will just like if I'm starting to feel a little anxious, I'm like, okay, I think I need to go to yoga. And the old me might be a little bit – I might get in my head and say, okay, book the class. And then maybe I got there and I'm running a little bit late and I'm feeling flustered. And now I'm kind of being like, you know what? I'm going to give myself grace. I'm not going to rush and go make it to that class or try to make it to that class and then not get there and do all this stuff. Instead, you know what? I'm just going to call it. I'm not going to make it to the class. I signed up, whatever. But I'm going to go home and I'll do a 20-minute session by myself. Mm-hmm. And then it's still kind of a win. So perhaps it's similar to yours and being a little bit more lenient.
Yeah.
But for me, instead of thinking about it as I'm going to do yoga 3 times a week, I'm just saying now I'm just letting myself know that when I feel a bit anxious, I should go to yoga. So it's more like in the moment.
Yeah.
If that makes sense. I don't know if that's...
I actually want to go back to something you said.
Yeah.
I'm curious. So you said last year you felt like you took on so many changes at once. And I'm also curious because as someone that is a type A control person like I am, how did you feel like you lost a sense of control last year?
Yeah. Yeah.
And do you think it's because you felt like you actually didn't know what you could actually take on? Or like, what was...
Yeah.
Yeah, because I only ask this because when you ask me about how do you set the number or whatever like your goals, I think sometimes for me as a control freak sort of, I'm aware of like I can't do that and I can do that. So I will control what I'm, I guess, signing myself up for.
Yeah, I guess I'm thinking about just like relationship terms. Like I can look back in my old notebook and like goals that I set for 2023, like personally, and then goals that we set as a couple. And I look back now and I'm like, those were like, did I actually abide by them. I don't know.
Hmm.
And I don't even remember the goals that I set for ABG, to be honest.
To be honest, I mean, we'll review an old episode just to figure it out.
We can probably,
yeah.
But, I mean, your question, though, was, like, how do I feel like I lost control? Or
I think it's, I think maybe for me, I think we're as both people who are control, I guess type A type of people are control. I think for me...
Oh, you know what you could take on and you don't sign up for what you can.
Because I control everything in a sense,
right?
Like versus like I wouldn't never, I would not say yes to certain things I know I couldn't take on.
So here's usually what I will take risks, but I generally do calculated risks. So I will try to assess it and then take it on if I think I can take it on.
Got it.
But sometimes I'll take on something without maybe knowing the full extent.
Gotcha.
Or I might know that there's a possibility that it will fail, but I'm not focused on that so much in the moment.
And
so,
okay, that makes sense.
I might know it logically, but then if it's actually starting to happen sometimes, I think I will just continue to push forward and try to keep, like, keep going and keep moving. And sometimes I'm not the most aware when things have, like, gone not in the best case scenario, if that makes sense.
That makes sense. I think I can relate.
There's an analogy. They say that there's like if you put a frog in boiling water, it will actually just die. Like it will never leave because the temperature just keeps going up so slightly and it keeps adjusting and it keeps adjusting and it keeps adjusting until eventually it doesn't realize that it's boiled. And I feel – and that seems extreme, but I think what happens is like when things get challenging, I will adapt. I'll adapt. And I keep adapting a little. And then suddenly I might look and be like, whoa. Suddenly, this is not okay, and I was not aware, if that makes sense.
That makes sense. Okay, so I have to another follow-up question for you. Because, again, I think when it comes to this, we're actually kind of opposites, even though we're both control people. Like, the reason why I'm going so gung-ho and so hard in terms of my goals this year is because – I know once I achieve it, I'll feel some sense of accomplishment and feel good because I'm replicating what I did in 2020, 22 essentially, because I did have those goals. And afterwards, I had a good year. Last year, I didn't do that. I had it more open. I was not happy.
Oh, I see, I see.
So I'm going back to what works for me.
I see.
So for me, for you, I guess my question is, since you're going to a more laissez-faire type of way of going about with your goals, How do you think it's going to make you feel happier at the end of the year? Like how do you check in with yourself?
Actually, that's a good, you know, I'm realizing actually that what I did is I looked at my last 2023 goals and I did translate them to 2024. But instead of being, I kind of roughly had numbers, but I just have categories. Like what is my goal for personal development? What are things in family and stuff like that? And I will still continue to look at them and reference them. And to be honest, if I think about it, if we listen to old episodes, probably whatever things I've set in the past, like 4 years, almost everything, it's like family, work, personal, they're all very similar. And maybe I will just come up with a different way that I'm, for that year of how I'm trying to hit that goal. And I think maybe just this year, I'm not trying to be so like, let me put it down on paper that this is exactly what I'm going to do. Because perhaps I feel a little bit burned. Like last year, I was like, oh, these are the things that I'm doing and I'm moving towards that. And then it may not work out. And maybe it's just feeling a little bit of a burn. And then so hesitancy to want to then commit to hard, like...
You don't
want to
have those hard
documented
goals.
Kind of, okay,
yeah, that makes sense. I think if you felt like you were writing all these goals out last year with a partner and you for yourself and you didn't make it, you feel kind of like...
burned.
That and also you're just causing disappointment for yourself.
Yes.
So for this year, you're just like,
I think you've hit the nail. You hit the...
You know, I'm the worst
at this. The hammer on the... Whatever it is. I think I'm a little bit... I'm just scared to fail again. And that's probably why I haven't been as explicit. Even though, honestly, like, if you listen to our past episodes too, like, in the back of my head, I am still referencing these things and I'm still working towards them. But if people come at me and are like, what are you doing? How are you improving yourself? I was like, I'm not going to commit to anything right now because I need some time to just, like, trust that I am internally trying to, like, figure things out. But don't try to hold me accountable for things right now because I need some space and I need some time.
I love that you said that because I think I'm someone that will be like, well, do you want to, like, I think I just, for me, as one of your friends, I want to, I'm super proactive in that I think sometimes that sometimes someone who's not, I'm just like, are you happy? Are you making sure, I want to make sure like you're hitting your quote unquote goals so that you, it's like ensuring your happiness, but also knowing that you just need just time sometimes just to breathe.
Think if I reflect back on my life, the type of person I tend to be is I go in like sprints. So there'll be certain years where just a whole bunch of shit happens. And then I need some time to like recover and process all of the things. And I think it's because usually whether it's it probably is part of my own doing and maybe just the timing of things. But usually when I go through like one thing that shifts in my life, or when multiple things, more than 2 to 3 aspects of my life shift all at once, like a whole bunch of change occurs. And maybe part of it is me also making decisions to just kind of blow shit up and then give myself some time to collect, process and rebuild from that, and then slowly build up again. And then I will go for another like X amount of like between, I've noticed between like 5 to 6, every about 5 years, like I go through a big flip over.
That's good to know.
For better or worse, that's good. So as you're working through this time of like transition in your life, are there sources of inspiration or guidance that you're looking at, whether they're like podcasts or books or just like people on social media or elsewhere, anything in the world that's like driving some form of inspiration or guidance for you?
Yeah, I love this question. Well, one, I already am going back to therapy, which I made that an intentional choice because I'm like, change, like we said, change is constant. I want the right tools to help navigate that.
Yeah.
So there's that. She actually recommended me this really simple read that I'm starting to read right now. It's a book called Who Moved My Cheese? Have you heard of it?
I have. Okay. Yes. Yeah.
When I got the book, I was like, oh, this is so like kind of like a children's level book-ish. But I like how simple the concept is, but it's kind of like, it's so short, but I'm still reading it. But it's about how people navigate change, but there's 4 characters, how they navigate it differently. But I don't know what happens yet, but I'm assuming they all, you're gonna relate to one or the other, and some might be better equipped for change. So
interesting.
I'm reading that, don't know where I'm at yet. I'm still gonna figure out the results.
Yeah.
My plan is to read it and then talk to my therapist about it.
That's a great, and she's the one that recommended that book for you.
She is. Yeah, she's like, I read this every time I go through change.
Ooh, okay.
So that's, I was like,
Who Moved My Cheese? I mean, it's like, I feel like my dad's talked about that book. So it's definitely what I from previous generations.
It definitely feels like, you know, the 80s, 90s. Yeah. Book. And I was like, oh, this is kind of, you know, not as modern. But the second thing that I've been listening to, like I mentioned earlier, is self-help podcasts. Mel Robbins I got really into. And I want to share why I get into self-help. For me, whenever I listen to self-help afterwards, I feel extremely motivated to do the work.
Okay.
For me, I listen to it passively, but whenever I listen to an episode, something ignites in me. And that's why I listen to these podcasts.
Yeah, yeah.
Because it makes me feel like I'm not stagnant, which I've been feeling the last year. So I've been now more intentional, like listening to episodes on drives, because afterwards I leave with something. And I like that feeling of like, I got a gem that I'm going to work with.
Right.
Versus
right.
just like, I mean, I love listening to music, but after music, you're just like, cool, now we're turned off. But I feel like I'm given a lesson. And I think right now I'm in this whole like proactive mode.
Yeah.
It turns that, it's like caffeine for my brain.
Oh.
And I like that.
Yeah, yeah.
So if you're looking for something, Mel Robbins is great. She feels like their tough mom. But it works, you know? So I only even listen to Mel Robbins, to be honest.
Oh.
Yeah.
Has there been an episode of hers that you've really like resonated with?
Her goal setting one, she's a lot lately about like happiness, setting your goals, and just, yeah, those are the ones I've been listening to a lot. Actually, one more episode I highly recommend.
Yeah.
Because I was feeling lost last year. There's an episode Jay Shetty did about finding your purpose that I re-listen to all the time. And the biggest takeaway I got from that episode is that he says people are always looking for their purpose and they're always looking externally and elsewhere. But the reality is purpose actually lies within. So you got to just not look elsewhere. Ask yourself, just look within. Yeah. I know that sounds very woo-woo.
Yeah, but it's...
But I think it also ties with like by doing that, you just have to live your life. And then by doing that, you're going to stumble upon your purpose again. I think for me, again, as a go person, I'm always like, what's my purpose? And I'm like looking everywhere I can. But I think this is a reminder of like, Mel, there's truths that are speaking in you. You just have to listen now.
Yeah, yeah.
Because last year what I didn't do is I didn't check in with myself. I just kept going day to day, not asking, are you happy? Why are you unhappy? I never did that. And so it was until those moments I'm just like, I need to do this move. I need to do these things now.
Right, right.
And the living your life thing, I do think it's just kind of like as you speak honestly with yourself and you're just going to like living your life, I think your purpose will kind of be like uncovered. And that's how I think about it.
I love that visual because you were doing, it makes me think of it's like it's buried underneath some sand and you need to do, and the thing is like you need to move so that the sand can like kind of clear. So you can't, your purpose is not going to be discovered by you sitting there and trying to journal it out necessarily, right? You need to be going out into the world and seeing how how things are reacting to your actions and your decisions.
Exactly. And I think the journaling, though, I do think you need a journal because I think you got to ask yourself, are you happy with your actions right now? Are you happy with how you're living your life? And if you're not, what do you need to make that change to be happy? Mm. I think by slowly living out the things that you've always wanted, you will see what you your purpose is.
Right,
so I think that's the one thing I felt with last year. I literally was talking to so many people. I was like, what's your purpose? How are you living? And my friend was like, Mel, you just have to live. Start living your life now. And I was like, shit, you're
right. So you were almost doing like a research project of trying to ask other people of how they were. Is it you were trying to figure out how other people are doing things so you could model?
Literally, I was.
But I mean, it's still, what did you learn from talking to other people? Like, what are other people doing to try to figure out?
I think the one thing I learned is like, this is so random. My friend Michael, he was like the one that says, you have to live, Mel. He said, it's just taking on the experiences, the things that that bring you so much joy. Like for this is so random. For his birthday, he went to like Europe and went to a Beyonce concert. He was like, it was so spontaneous. I met random friends, but it was so exhilarating. And that's what I needed. And for me, the one way I'm going to do that is by traveling more because I know I love to travel. I'm going to spend more time with my friends from college because that makes me so excited and so happy. So instead of being like, oh, no, like, oh, I don't need to go to that or whatever, just I'm going to say yes to more things that I know that excite me.
Yeah.
So that's one way I'm going to do
it. I like that a lot. I like that a lot.
But yeah, so that was a long tangent way of saying I listen to Mel Robbins. And the reason why I do is because she gives me like mental caffeine. And And it makes me feel excited to do things in life.
That is great. Yeah. Actually, that one focus makes me think of what I'm focusing on this year as well, is doing more things that excite me. I think last year I feel like I pushed myself a lot, but maybe unexpectedly in certain directions that a little too hard, maybe. Or too hard at the wrong things.
You know what? I could completely relate to that because I think that's one thing that as we're focusing for ABG, I said the one question I asked you about this, like, what do you want to do and are you excited to work on this?
Yeah.
Because the biggest thing, I think what drains your energy is you're working on things that don't excite you.
Yeah.
You know?
I oftentimes will do the thing that I feel like is needed to be done.
I feel you.
And it's hard for me to check in with myself about whether like that's fulfilling or whatever. Because sometimes I also just think about it as like work doesn't – it's not supposed to be fulfilling sometimes, right? Like sometimes you have to – it's like you have years where you just have to push through. So do I regret anything about last year? No. I think everything I did from my personal life to professionally, everything, I feel like it needed to be done. But it was not sustainable. And I kind of knew right by the end of the year that something needs to change.
Yeah.
And so that for me is a big thing for this coming year is I'm also trying to focus more on inspiration. But one of the ways that I'm finding inspiration, because I think one key signal to me when I'm not doing well is that I get very in my head. And the challenge, we've talked about this as well, is with the work that we do, because we are like such there's a huge public-facing aspect to what we do, right? And oftentimes now that we've, like, become more process-oriented and we are able to, like, do our mini shows by ourselves and there's no other people there to help check me, I can get so in my head that suddenly I'm like, this sounds horrible. This doesn't look right. This doesn't make sense. And then I just get so, like
– you spiral, huh?
I spiral, yeah. And so one of the things that I've been looking to for inspo is actually a young, like – Gen Z creator type person. Her name's Emma Chamberlain.
Oh, yes.
So one of the reasons why, a couple of reasons why I really just like enjoy watching her and the way that she works and her personality. She's kind of like this curmudgeon-y old grandpa trapped in the body of this like cute little 22-year-old. And I really, I don't know, something about that is really like, is endearing and kind of fun to watch, and also someone who just seems very wise beyond her years, like an old soul in this like little kid young body, and she is someone who pumps out content like crazy, and I can see, you know, when you see someone you're like, I understand what it's like to, like, you're probably so burnt out and you're just trying to get through it, and then you recognize how she gets through it and how she's just kind of like speaking her mind and kind of saying, you know what, that might come out weird, I don't know, it's fine, whatever, I'm gonna move on. And I think I'm trying to take on some of that energy and just be like, judge less, like filter less, it's okay, just share and say things. And if whatever, like, just, I think just I'm constantly, and at the end of last year was just judging myself a lot.
That's hard too.
Yeah, and trying to self-edit, and some of it for good reason, because of what we do is public facing, and I was sharing stories that are really personal, so I was trying to make sure that I'm not like hurting anyone or saying something the wrong way.
Yeah.
But some of it is just when it comes to being like confident in yourself, I lost a lot of that. And some of it is from burnout and some of it is just from Yeah. And when you go through a breakup, I think that
you lose a part of yourself.
You lose a huge sense of confidence.
Yeah, I could see that. Dang.
So Emma Chamberlain is one for me.
Yeah.
Also, because we podcast and I love podcasting and I love just listening to like interviews, mm-hmm. Trevor Noah is another mm-hmm. one that he has kind of this new show on Spotify. And I always think that he's such a charismatic interviewer and someone who can just have a conversation with so many different types of people.
That's cool.
And he does it so – it's like it feels very like easy and kind of also more like – it doesn't feel scripted. And I kind of like, I'm like, oh, I really enjoy that. And I'm trying to drive, like, I guess, like, get inspiration from that.
I love these people that you named. I think it's because, like, with Emma Chamberlain, I do watch some of her stuff. She feels kind of like the unfilteredness is nice.
Yeah.
Because I think I mentioned this before. I think sometimes at ABG, granted, we've been doing this for so many years and there's a level of comfort we have.
Yeah.
But there's a level of, like, button-upness that we've.
Yes.
I think it's our format.
Yeah.
First, I think even today's episode, we're like, let's just kind of see where this goes.
Yeah.
Which I know me and you are like, this is fun.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I think that's something we want to do more of with ABG, whether it's in different episodes, whether a new show. I don't know. It's something we want to explore more of. But I'm happy you're letting yourself just, it's kind of just, let me be free with what I'm going to say, what I'm going to share.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
You know, so I love that.
Thank you.
Also, the Trevor Noah thing, I think all of us have told you, you're such a great interviewer that I think it's cool. You're also getting inspirations from other strong interviewers as well. You're just going to hone in your skill so much better.
Thank you for that.
You're already really great skill of interviewing.
That's very sweet, Mel. Thank you.
Maybe I should listen to Emma Chamberlain.
Emma Chamberlain's, she has, her podcast is hilarious.
Yeah.
It's like sometimes just her on the mic.
On her bed, right?
On her bed. Yeah. And I think there's something about that that's just so comfortable. And it feels like a diary entry, which I think is how when we started with ABG, audio, you know, going to video for us, obviously it was a huge, like, we know it was in a good direction, but sometimes it makes it harder to feel like you're filtering or, you know, you do feel a sense of needing to be a little bit more put together.
Mm-hmm.
I think I'm trying to channel more of that, like being a little bit less. Lust buttoned up.
like your shirt right now. There's
like
no
buttons. My shirt. Yes. I'm trying to, okay.
All right. Well, to close off today's episode, actually a lot of fun talking about this with you, Jay.
Yeah, me too. I think I learned more about you, more about your last year. I know we've done a lot of episodes and we've had a lot of conversations, but just getting it once again and getting it from this different angle, like I think it just like increases my excitement for you and New York.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I think I know I enjoyed this episode. I feel like I could dive more into your psyche.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because I think obviously
it's a scary place.
No, it's not even that. I just think, you know, obviously our listeners and our followers and our friends know that we're actually very different people. But it's just for me to understand why you think this certain way.
Yeah.
It's like I just want to know more about how you think.
Yes.
Yeah. So I have better understanding and I could be a better friend. So speaking of being a better friend, you know, this episode is kind of us sharing like what we want to do for this year. And I want to ask you, like, what can I do to be that friend for you, to hold you accountable for what you want to accomplish or how you want to feel by the end of 2024?
Yeah. Thank you for asking that, Mel. You know, I think probably the number one thing is make sure that I'm still doing yoga or some type of physical movement.
Mm.
I think that – I know it's like when it comes to self-care, it's hard sometimes to figure out whether you should be prioritizing sleep, whether you should be prioritizing nutrition or physical exercise, all the things. I think all of them, but I think for me, I just know that when I'm doing yoga or when I'm doing some form of physical exercise, it makes a difference. And usually when I'm not doing those things anymore is like
it's like a sign of
it's
like
it's a sign I'm not in a good place. Yeah. Okay. Or not, I'm just not in the best place.
Yeah, yeah. That makes sense.
How about for you, Mel? What can I do for you to help hold you, whether you want to call it hold you accountable or like to be supportive? What signals do I look for?
You know, it's hard. Actually, I think out of a lot of my friends, Janet, actually, you've always been really encouraging. Because I think prior to this episode, I did mention like all the vlogging thing. And it's just, and it's also hard for me to even admit that I want to do this because it feels like a vanity project, you know? But you're very like, Mel, this is like, you've always been very encouraging of like, you've always been into YouTube. That's how you started. That I always feel like, I think with a lot of things that I do, you're always a good support system. I think maybe just I was just asked to just continue that.
Oh,
you know, like I feel like I don't know. I think whenever we talk one-on-one or like about what we want in life, you're always very like very encouraging. You're never like, nah. So I think that's something I feel. And I think one thing I express to you a lot is sometimes I'm afraid to share these thoughts with my friends, my other friends.
Yeah.
But you're always there to like protect me. So I always appreciate that. So to be honest, just to continue doing,
supporting. Okay.
And I think what I can do is I would love to help you in this realm of play.
Actually, yes. Yeah. Mel, you are the perfect person to help me with play. I realize that you have a very natural childlike energy with stuff. And it's always really fun working with you, I think, because you'll make time for the play.
I try. Yeah. I think it just, you know, it's, I think that's why, because I know I naturally play. I don't know how. I just do. Yeah. I mean, I have a stuffed dog that I sleep with. I don't know what it is. But I think one thing I would invite you to do is I want you to come visit me in New York, because I want you to just come back and just we could play and do things. I know that excited. Go to a museum. We'll get in a yoga session. I want to do all these things, because afterwards I want you to feel good.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, I love that.
Yeah.
Okay. I know I'm definitely coming to New York.
Yes. And we could also go. There's another Spotify studio there too.
Yeah. Right, I'm actually super excited to check out it's Brooklyn
I think. Right. Yeah. So. Well, me introduced us to this place. This is really cool. Thanks for being like really vulnerable about how you were last year and like how you want to go about with this year. I feel like a lot of people can relate. You know, last year was probably tough for a lot of people. And I think it's just whole, like, you know what it is? I think whether you're going through a tough time last year, like, you know, you got through so many changes, or maybe you're like me where like you just were finally honest with how you were feeling and not feeling really fulfilled and happy. And you're like, this is a year I want to address that. Like, so whatever it is, like, I hope you guys take away something from this episode.
Yes.
And I know I did just talking with Janet. So that's all I want to say.
With that, we'll catch you all in the next episode.
Bye. Bye.